though their ears were keen for the hunting cries that continued to rise behind them. At the fall of darkness, they swung the dogs into a cluster of spruce trees on the edge of the waterway and made a camp. The coffin at the side of the fire served for seat and table. The wolf dogs, clustered on the far side of the fire, snarled and bickered among themselves, but evinced no inclination to stray off into the darkness.
"What gets me, Henry, is what a chap like this, that's a lord or something in his own country, and has never had to bother about grub nor blankets, why he comes a-buttin' round the godforsaken ends of the earth. That's what I can't exactly see," said Bill.
"He might have lived to a ripe old age if he stayed at home,"
Henry agreed. Bill opened his mouth to speak, but changed his mind. Instead, he pointed towards the wall of darkness that pressed about them from every side. There was no suggestion of form in the utter blackness. Only could be seen a pair of eyes gleaming like live coals. Henry indicated with his head a second pair and a third. A circle of the gleaming eyes had drawn about their camp. Now and again a pair of eyes moved or disappeared to appear again a moment later. The unrest of the dogs had been increasing, and they stampeded in a surge of sudden fear to the near side of the fire, cringing and crawling about the legs of the men. In the scramble, one of the dogs had been overturned on the edge of the fire, and it had yelped with pain and fright as the smell of its singed coat possessed the air. The commotion caused the circle of eyes to shift restlessly for a moment, and even to withdraw a bit, but it settled down again as the dogs became quiet.
"Henry, it's a blame misfortune to be out of ammunition."
Henry grunted and began unlacing his moccasins.
"How many cartridges did you say you had left?"
he asked.
"Three," came the answer. "And I wish 'twas 300. Then I'd show 'em what for, damn 'em!"
He shook his fist angrily at the gleaming eyes and began securely to prop his moccasins before the fire.
"And I wish this cold snap 'ud break," he went on. "It's been 50 below for 2 weeks now. And I wished I'd never started on this trip, Henry. I don't like the looks of it. I don't feel right, somehow. And while I'm wishing, I wish the trip was over and done with, and you and me are sitting by the fire in Fort McGurry just about now and playing cribbage. That's what I wished."
Henry grunted and crawled into bed. The men slept, breathing heavily, side by side, under the one covering. The fire died down, and the gleaming eyes drew closer the circle they had flung about the camp. The dogs clustered together in fear, now and again snarling menacingly as a pair of eyes drew close. Once their uproar became so loud that Bill woke up. He got out of bed carefully so as not to disturb the sleep of his comrade, and threw more wood on the fire. As it began to flame up, the circle of eyes drew farther back. He glanced casually at the huddling dogs. He rubbed his eyes and looked at them more sharply. Then he crawled back into the blankets.
"Henry," he said. "Oh, Henry."
Henry groaned as he passed from sleep to waking and demanded,
"What's wrong?"
"Nothing," came the answer. "Only there's 7 of 'em I just counted."
Henry acknowledged receipt of the information with a grunt that slid into a snore as he drifted back into sleep. In the morning, it was Henry who awoke first and routed his companion out of bed. Daylight was yet 3 hours away, though it was already 6 o'clock, and in the darkness Henry went about preparing breakfast, while Bill rolled the blankets and made the sled ready for lashing.
"Say, Henry," he asked suddenly, "how many dogs did you say we had?"
6.
"Wrong," Bill proclaimed triumphantly. 5. One's gone."
"The hell!"
Henry cried in wrath, leaving the cooking to come and count the dogs.
"You're right, Bill," he concluded. "Fatty's gone."
"And he went like greased lightning once he got started. Couldn't have seen him for smoke."
"No chance at all," Henry concluded. "He just swallowed 'em alive. I bet he was yelping as he went down their throats, damn 'em."
"He always was a fool dog," said Bill.
"But no fool dog ought to be fool enough to go off and commit suicide that way."
He looked over the remainder of the team with a speculative eye that summed up instantly the salient.